Say this, the word of God,
the word of God is
the answer. I want you to open your Bibles up, please, to John chapter 5, verse 30. John chapter 5, verse 30. It's going to take us a minute to get there, but we're going to get there in just a moment. But we're talking on the subject, faith works. Faith works. Brother Copeland said something many years ago. He said, one word from God can change your life. So I'm going to teach you a lesson, and at the end, I'm going to ask you what one thing you got out of the lesson. So you have to listen with intent, because I'm going to call on you. I'm going to ask you what one thing you got out of the lesson. One word can change your life. Faith works. Now, faith is how you're going to build a successful life. 1 John chapter 5, verse 4 says that it is our faith that we overcome. Is how you're going to build a successful personal life. And then faith is how we're going to build a great church. Jesus says, upon this rock, I'm going to build my church. This rock, this revelation. God speaks to us about things in the church. He told me about this church, start small. He said, start small. And then after our first Bible study, he says, wait for the harvest. So along the way, he's going to speak to us, and then we have to believe what he says, and then he's going to build a successful church. Now, we're talking specifically about the object of our faith. This is our fourth session with you, fourth session, our concluding session on the object of our faith. Now, understanding how faith works is like a puzzle. It's like putting a puzzle together. And the first piece of the faith puzzle is the object of our faith. Object meaning the focus of our believing. What or who is the focus of our believing? Now, Mark 11, 22, Jesus said, have faith in God. These last three sessions is about have faith in God, have faith in God, have faith in God, have faith in God. This first piece of the puzzle is about having faith in God, having faith in God, have faith in God. Now, practically though, in a practical way, how do we have faith in God? It's one thing to say have faith in him, but how do we have faith in God in a practical way? And we've said that there are four keys of understanding. We've talked about two of them. God and his word is one. God and his word are one. God and his word are one. In other words, the Bible is not just a good book, okay? It's not just a religious book. The Bible is God speaking to us. God and his word are one. Secondly, God's integrity is our anchor. We've talked about that. In life, everything is changing. People change, environments change, situations change, conditions change, circumstances change. So like an anchor, God's integrity keeps us stable through changing times. Now, the last two keys of understanding we're going to look at tonight, and that is God's order is that he speaks first. Number four, God's pattern is that he works in our weaknesses. Now let's talk about God's order is that he speaks first. Say that, God's order.
God's order.
Now we're learning how to use our faith. God's order is that he speaks first. Now I'm going to give you a proof text, then I'm going to give you precepts, and then we're going to look at these three precepts in the context of an example. The Bible instructs us to teach by precept, an example. So look at John chapter 5 and notice what it says in verse 30. John chapter 5, verse 30. Remember, God speaks first. God's order is that he what?
First.
He does what?
First.
He first. Now look at what Jesus says. He says, for I can of my own self do nothing. I can of my own self do nothing. He says, as I hear, I judge. as I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just because I seek not my own will, but the will of him that sent me. Now, notice what Jesus says. He says that as I hear, I judge. He said, I only judge things after I hear. He said, I judge people by what I hear. I judge situations by what I hear. And he says, because I wait to hear before I judge, he said, my judgment is just. He said, I'm accurate. He said, see, many times we're judging things according to appearances. And we're judging things according to how we feel. But Jesus says, I wait until I hear. Watch this now. God always speaks. His order is that he speaks what?
First.
Now, I'm going to give you three precepts, three truths, three truths. Number one, God works in the lives of his children by his promises and proclamations. God works in the lives of his children, watch this now, by his promises and his proclamations. Now, what are God's promises? God's promises are written and verbal pledges of what he will do or what he will not do. What will happen or what will not happen. So God says to us in James 1:5, he says that if you lack wisdom, he said, ask. And then he says, I'll give it to you liberally and upbraid not. That's a promise. God says also in Proverbs 3, verse 6, he says, in all your ways acknowledge me. And he says, he promises, then I'll direct your path. See, God's promises is what he will or will not do, what will happen or what will not happen. Does that make sense to you? He says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. That's a promise. He says, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. He says the weapons may form, but he promises they won't prosper. Amen. So God always, now listen carefully, he always speaks to us by his promises and by his proclamations. Now his proclamations are clear declarations of his will, his desires, and his perspectives. Clear declarations of his will, desires, and perspective. For example, Matthew 8:17, he says, himself took your infirmities and bore your sicknesses. That's not a promise. 1 Peter 2:24, he says, by whose stripes you were healed. That's not a promise. That's a declaration of his will. That's a declaration of his desire. That's a declaration of his perspective. His perspective is not that you're going to get healed. His perspective is that you were healed 2,000 years ago. Does that make sense to you? He says in 1 John 4:4, ye have overcome them because greater is he that's in you than he that is in the world. That's not a promise. That's a proclamation. God didn't say you're going to overcome. He said you're already overcome.
Amen.
And he says the greater one is on the inside of you. So anything you face in life, the greater one is on the inside of you. Amen. That's not a promise. That's a declaration. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away. All things have become new. That's not a promise. That's a proclamation. So God, now, listen carefully. God always works in the lives of his children through either his promises or his proclamations. Now, listen at this carefully. Still dealing with this first precept. Listen carefully now, because we have to correct some things, because your faith should be working for you. God wants your faith to work in your everyday life, not just in church, not just in Bible study. You're supposed to live a supernatural life. Now listen carefully. The will of God is not automatic.
My Lord, come on now. Come on.
Say that.
The will of God is not automatic.
Now listen at this. His will does not manifest solely by his sovereignty. Listen to this. Listen carefully. A gross error and misconception in the minds of many believers that has to be eradicated is this. If God wants me to have it and experience it, I will. If God doesn't want me to have it or experience it, I won't. Now, many Christians believe that. Many, some of you, I'm not going to even ask you to raise your hand. I'm not even going to ask you whether you've ever said that or thought that before. But many Christians believe that if God wants me to have it, they say it. If God wants me to have it, I'll get it. If God doesn't want me to have it, I won't get it. If God doesn't want it to happen, it won't happen. That is the thought. There could be nothing farther from the truth. God works in the lives of his children through his promises and his proclamations, not his sovereignty. Now, I can prove it. I can prove it. Does God want any person to be lost? Absolutely not. The scripture says he's not willing that any should perish. But every day people are dying and are eternally lost. Every day. But God wants them to be saved. But they're not saved because God's will is not automatic. What I'm saying to you, precious people, is that you can live the whole of your life and God has a wonderful plan for your life and you can live and die and never experience it.
My Lord, come on, Doc.
And you get to heaven, you find out God wanted you to have it when you were here. You have to understand that God works in the lives of his children by his promises and his proclamations. He doesn't work any other way. Another precept. Now, we're going to give you precepts, and then I'm going to give you an example. Second precept is this. No faith can come or change take place until after God has spoken. No faith can come or change takes place until after God has spoken. No faith can come. Faith comes by hearing.
Amen.
See, a lot of times when we're teaching, we're digging up stuff and planning. Faith does not come by praying.
Come on, Doc. Come on now.
Nowhere in the Bible does it say you're going to get faith by praying. Lord, give me more faith. God, give me more faith. God, give me more faith. God, give me more faith. I need more faith. No, faith comes by hearing. No faith will come or change takes place until after God has spoken. Bible says in James 1:21, it says to receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your soul. Salvation doesn't come until you receive, and you can't receive until after you've heard. Third precept, third truth. When God speaks, he speaks from his perspective, not yours. Ooh-wee. Oh, my goodness, I'm getting blessed. I said that when God speaks, he speaks from his perspective, not yours. Are you thinking? That's the question.
Yes.
Okay. When God speaks to you about you, when he speaks to you about your situation, He's going to always speak from his perspective, not yours. Now, talk to me about that. Talk to me about that. Here's what the scripture says. 2 Peter 3:8 says, one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years. One day, it doesn't say one day is 1,000 years. It says with the Lord, one day is as 1,000 years. For you and I, 1,000 years is a long time. For God, 1,000 years is no different than a day. What are you saying? I am saying that God lives in one eternal now. He created time, but he's not a victim of time, and he's not confined by time. God stands outside of time. He stands outside of time. He placed you and I in time. He lives in one eternal now. So when God looks at us, he can see our past, present, and future all at the same time. But you and I, we live in time. We remember our past, but we're only cognizant of our present. So we're dealing with now. But when God talks to you, he surveys your future.
Come on now.
And he begins up here and he talks to you here about what he saw down here. So when God is talking to you, he's going to always be talking to you from his perspective, not yours. He can't afford to talk to you from yours, because if he talked to you from yours, he would be confined by time. He would be bound by time. He would be limited by time. So he steps out and he talks to you from his perspective, not yours. He would have to worry if he dealt with you from your perspective.
Wow.
He would have to be afraid if he dealt with you from your perspective. He wouldn't know what's going to happen if he dealt with you from your perspective. So he always talks to us from his perspective, not ours. Now, I gave you 3 precepts related to God's order is that he speaks first. Review. God works in the lives of his children by his promises and proclamations. Number 2, no faith can come or change take place until after God has spoken. Number 3, when God speaks, he speaks from his perspective, not yours. Now that we have the precept, let's look at an example. Now, as we show you the example, you have to always put yourself in the situation, because you will understand how God is dealing with you and you'll know how to cooperate with him. Got it? So let's go to an example now. Let's turn over to Hebrews chapter 11, and let's go back to Gideon. If you were here in our first session, we talked about Gideon. Let's go back to Gideon and let's talk about Gideon and let's plug in the things that we've learned in our precept. And now let's contextualize it, put it in the context of a real life. Now watch this. Let's look at the end of Gideon's life. Let's look at the end of his life. It says, and what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, of Barak, Samson, of Jephthah, David, also Samuel, and of the prophets. We're concentrating on Gideon. Watch this now. Who through faith, come on, say through faith.
Through faith.
He, through what?
Faith.
Watch this. He subdued
kingdoms
and he obtained promises. Got it? So through faith, he did what?
Subdued kingdoms and obtained promises.
Come on. Through faith, he did what? Okay, look at the next verse. Quench the violence of fire, escape the edge of the sword. Now watch this. Out of weakness, he was made strong. Gideon, out of what?
Weakness.
Was made what?
Strong.
He started out weak, but he was made what?
Strong.
Through faith.
Yes.
Through faith. Okay, now that's the end of his life. Now let's go back and look at how he started. Turn to Judges chapter 6. Turn to Judges chapter 6. And I'm going to review a little bit. I'm going to review a little bit, but I want you to turn to Judges chapter 6. Now, this will change your life. Every week, we're going to share a little nugget about faith, and the day will come where you're going to understand it. It's going to be so practical. You're going to be able to use it in your everyday life. Not just a definition. You're going to know how to use it in your everyday, and that's going to excite you because the Bible is going to come alive for you once you can use it every day. See, when I first was a Christian, I just quote all these scriptures. But none of it working in my life. None of it. Not a single thing. I was just as defeated as I wanted to be. I love the Lord. He heard my cry. I was just defeated. Because faith for me was a definition. It was not a lifestyle. I didn't know how to use it at work. I didn't know how to use it in my marriage. I didn't know how to use it as a parent. I didn't know how to use it in my finances. I didn't know how to use it in my health. So I could quote, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. But I didn't know how it worked. And that's our assignment, to help you know how it works. Now let's look at, I'm going to review. You got Judges 6? We're going to look at three verses in a minute, but listen how his life was at the beginning. In the beginning, we see in Judges chapter 6, he's hiding around in caves. Hiding, ducking from the Midianites, hiding from caves. He's focused on his adverse circumstances. They destroying our crops. They destroying our cattle. They stealing our everything. He's also focused on his feelings of abandonment. The Lord ain't with us. The Lord is not for us. We heard all them stories about how he brought the people through the Red Sea, but he's not with us. This is Gideon. He's also dealing with his negative background. He said, I'm from a poor background, and I'm the least in my father's house. He got this low self-esteem and insecurity. Now, the question, is how did God enter this situation? How did he enter this man's life and bring change? How did he bring victory? Because we know from the precepts that God's will is not automatic, right? We also know that God works in the lives of his people through his promises and his precepts. We also know that no faith can come and change can take place until after God has spoken. And we also know that when God speaks, he always speaks from his perspective and not others. So for God to change this situation, this person, because we see out of weakness, he became strong. Amen. We see he subdued kingdoms. So what had to happen? God had to speak first. God had to speak first. Yes. That's the only way he can change your life. He has to speak first. He don't just run in and take away your sickness, run in and just take away your poverty, just run in and take away your hardship. That's religion. God doesn't work like that.
Come on, Doc.
God works through his word. He has to say something. And he had to get you to believe it.
That's right.
And he has to get you to believe it while things look bad. I believe thousands are coming here.
Yes.
You see empty chairs. You see a small crowd of people. I see thousands. You have to believe it before it happens. So God has to say something. Now watch this. Watch this. Look at what God does in verse 12, 14 and 16. And remember the precepts. Now, remember the precepts. Remember the precepts. Remember the precepts. God doesn't work in our lives apart from his what? Promises, proclamations, right? Now, look at this. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said, because God has to speak first. Right? Because no change can come until after God says something. The angel appeared unto him and said unto him, the Lord is with you. You mighty man of valor. What? Mighty man. He's hiding right there when God said it. Now look at that. Tell me, are those promises or are those proclamations? Those are proclamations. He says, the Lord is with you. And watch another proclamation. You mighty man of valor. That is a proclamation. That's a proclamation. Now, remember, when God speaks to you, he's speaking from his perspective. So really, Gideon is high now. But God is not in time. He sees the whole course of Gideon's life. And he sees him taking 300 men and defeating them. And so he bags up and he said, you are a mighty man.
Come on now.
Yet he's high now, see.
Come on.
Right? Look at verse 14. And the Lord looked upon him and said, go in this your might, and you shall save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Is that a promise or a proclamation? Ah. Is that a promise or a proclamation? Remember, a promise is a declaration of what God will do or not do, what will happen or not happen. So you think it's a promise?
Yeah.
Or a proclamation? I need a high five. We can go both ways. Let's go both ways. But it's primarily a proclamation. He's speaking from his perspective. This is what's going to happen. You're going to save Israel. You're going to do it. Look at the next text. And the Lord said to him, surely I will be with you. And you shall smite the Midians as one man. Surely I will be with you. Promise or proclamation?
Promise.
It is promise. It is a promise. So let's look back at what we said. God's order is to speak first. Got it? God works in the lives of his children through what? Promises and proclamations. No faith can come or change take place until after God has
spoken.
Okay. When God speaks, he speaks from his perspective, not
ours.
And we see that in precept and we see that in example, right?
Yes.
So now Gideon has to act.
Yes.
Right? He has to act on either the promise or the proclamation. Watch this. And he's acting on the promise or the proclamation. And sometimes it takes us a minute to get there. Because Gideon asked for some fleeces and all kinds of stuff. But he finally got there. But now watch this. Number four, God's pattern is to work through our weaknesses. Oh, this is good here. 2 Corinthians 12, 9 through 10. I'm almost about to close. 2 Corinthians. God's pattern is that he works through our weaknesses. Anybody here ever felt weak?
Yes, sir.
I'm weak, Lord. Ain't everybody ever felt like, I ain't got the money, I don't have the money, I don't have the equipment, I don't have the skill, I don't have the experience. How in the world am I going to do that? God's pattern is that he always works through our weaknesses. Remember, the scripture says in Hebrews 11, out of weakness, he was made strong. Now this revelation gonna bless you. Oh, it's going to bless you for the rest of your life.
Amen.
It's out of you. God's pattern is to work in your weakness, not your strength. His pattern is to work through. Now, let's look what Paul says. Paul says, he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect where?
In weakness.
Where is God's strength made perfect?
In weakness.
Where is God's strength made perfect?
In weakness.
Now watch this. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Next verse. Therefore, I take pleasure in, we're going to define that, in reproaches, in privation, in persecution, in distress, for Christ's sake, for when I am
weak,
then I am
strong.
Now, let's look at this for just a moment. We're almost about to close. God's pattern, remember this, precious people, is that he always works in our weaknesses. The word infirmities there means lack of strength. It means inability to produce results in yourself. Lack of strength, inability. At Faith Chapel, Birmingham, God spoke to us to build a 3,000-seat sanctuary, and he told us to do it debt-free. Shoot. That building cost $16 million. I know what we had in the bank, because I be the pastor. We had never had that much money coming through the church. Never. And ain't nobody gonna lend us $16 million. Never saw the money. Didn't want to look at the books. Was going to put up a thermometer so the people can see where we were. Decided not to put that thermometer up because it would destroy everybody's faith. But every time we needed the money,
come on, God,
it showed up.
Yes.
A modern day feeding of the 5,000. It just showed up. It just showed up. People gave. People believed God.
Yes, sir.
Only less than $200,000 came outside of our congregation. I'm on television, and we got less than $200,000 from outside TV and outside folk.
Wow.
Everything came through the members in the church.
Hallelujah.
But God dealt with us because we couldn't do it.
Yes, sir.
And his strength is made perfect in our weakness. It's when you can't do it, you in a good place. When you don't have the skill, you don't have the money, you don't have the resources, you don't have the intelligence, you don't have this, 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 then God said, now you're in a really good place. If you will focus on me.
Come on.
If I'm the object of your faith, then my strength will be made perfect in your infirmities, your lack of strength, your inability to produce results in yourself. He said, I'll glorify myself, and you won't get any credit because you were weak and you couldn't pull it off. So that's why God reduced Gideon's army. Gideon went up against an army of 135,000. That's a lot of folk.
Yes.
You know how many troops he had? 35,000. He had 35,000 troops he had to go up against 135,000. And God said, you got too many folk. He said, tell everybody that's scared to go home. 22,000. Oh, man, 22,000 said, listen, I'll see you on the other side, brother. They saw the troops. They saw 135,000. God said, if you're scared, go home. If you're scared, Faith Chapel ain't for you. Because we're going to be believing for a lot of stuff, and we ain't going to see it. So if you're scared, it ain't the church. It ain't the church for you. It ain't the church. 22,000 left. He had 10,000. He had 10,000 folk. And God said, that's too many. He gave him a test, and he had 300. 300 against 135,000. And destroyed them, ran them out of town. His strength was made perfect in Gideon's weakness. So don't back down. When God speaks to you, take the time to hear him. Get enough time to hear. But once he speaks to you, you got everything you need. Don't look at your skill level, your intelligence level, or lack thereof, that you don't have the money. When God speaks first, that's all you need. But you have to, in the last 4 weeks, that's all we've been talking about. Jesus said, have faith. Come on, point. Have faith in God. Not your circumstances, not your pocketbook, not your bank account, not your numbers, not this, not your intelligence, not your degree, not your education. Have faith. I said education. Your education. Education. Okay. Have faith in. Come on, say it. Have faith in. 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 Have faith in.